Let's open our Bibles this evening in John chapter 3. If you're visiting, and of course we know no one's visiting because they haven't said so. So you all know where to turn then. John chapter 3 and verse 16. So we're going to read that in verse 17 and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read, I just love this scripture verse. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And the Amplified, I like this. It says, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. So as we let, see the entrance, that kind of conveys we let something in. So the entrance of his words gives light. And it's his responsibility to unfold it and reveal it to us. And let's as we start this evening, where we touched on Sunday on the will of God to heal, and then we got over into talking about the spirit of man, and we talked about guarding your heart, and that the heart is the core or the place where life comes from. So the core of man is going to be, or the heart of man, the spirit of man, is where life is going to come from God and then affect our physical body. And so the life of man, the physical body is affected by the spirit man. And so we touched on that and we shared some things. But we began to ask the question, you know, how do we know what the will of God is? And one thing that comes to mind is that anything that God has spoken is his will. And so his word is his will. And of course, that may sound kind of simplistic, but anything that God has spoken. And I'm just thinking here that when you go to Genesis and you look at all of the things in the first chapter of Genesis, and he begins to talk about how God did this, and God did this, and he spoke this into existence, and he said, it is good. Nowhere in there did he say, gee, this doesn't look too good. I made a mistake, or let me redo it. Let's fix it. No, he spoke, and those things that he spoke and created were good. And also, what did he create? He created man. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And after he got all done, he gave him some instructions. And at the very end, he said, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was what? Very good. So in there, we can see just from the original design that everything that God does, everything that he speaks into existence is good. Is very good. So nowhere in there do we see anything about sickness and disease. So it was never in the original design. So we know just from that, just that simple presentation right in the beginning of the Bible, we can see it was never in God's design because he doesn't have it to give. So somebody could say, well, where does that come? Where did sickness and disease come from? Well, I know you're all well taught, but maybe somebody who's listening doesn't know. And of course, we can see from Genesis where man fell And what happened? Sin came into existence, or sin came into the earth, and because of sin, death came in. And because of that, sickness came in. And so we can see it was never part of the original design of God. It was never in his plan, so that means it's not his will. And so if you just had that, and somebody said, well, we don't know, maybe it's God's will. Well, show me that in the Bible. And I think we have to at least be bold enough to ask someone, well, show me that in the Bible. Where is that? And most times, if somebody knew or read the Bible, they'd be able to show you, but they can't. It's tradition, it's hearsay, it's something that someone else said. But it's not what God said. God didn't say that. And so you can start to go through, as we did on Sunday, and what are we supposed to do in Romans 12:2? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to do that, but we're to feed upon this and have our minds renewed and transformed. And so we went through those particular scriptures, and one thing that comes to mind, turn over to Psalm 41 for a minute, and you can begin to see here where God, through the scriptures, Psalm 41, and look at verse 8. And what does it say here in Psalm 41, verse 8? An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Now in my margin, it says, a thing of Belial, an evil disease. So disease comes from who? The devil. Doesn't come from God, it comes from the devil. So you can see right here from the scripture. And that word evil, if you just look it up, it's a word that's translated almost like Belial. It just means evil. It's destruction or ruin. And, of course, the Darby translation also says a thing of Belial. And these scriptures, you know these. Let's look at these. Let's look in the New Testament. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, and you can see this is a woman that was bound. What does it say in verse 16? Luke 13:16, it says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom who bound? Satan hath bound. Lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. So who bound her? Satan did. And, of course, we know this scripture, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed of who? The devil. For God was with him. So we can see here that sickness is, in this case here, is referred to its satanic oppression. So it is not God's will. It never was his will. And we can see where sickness came from. It entered in through death. By sin and through death, sickness came into this world. And thank God it's going to be bound and cast out. Now, let's turn over. I want to just look again at Proverbs chapter 4. Let's read it again, 4, and verse 20 through 23. And God's word is what? Medicine. So we shared that on Sunday, that God's word is medicine. And we're not opposed to doctors. Doctors can do some wonderful things, but they don't have all the answers, and they're limited because man is limited. But God is not. And his word is not, and it's eternal. So Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Not some of their flesh, all their flesh. And in my margin, that word health is translated as medicine. And then verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And of course, I think in some past lessons, there's one translation I like. It's the Complete Jewish Translation. And in verse 23, it says, "Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences." So sometimes folks are saying, "Well, man, I don't know how this happened." Well, somewhere along the line, you probably opened your mouth and released some words out of your heart that created the conditions or allowed those conditions to happen. Because that's exactly what the scripture says here. It says, "Guard your heart above everything else, for it's the source of life's consequences." The Good News Translation says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." Of course, we know this. We could just look at the news channel and see how that is, and how people talk, and how they speak about things. But there's one particular translation I shared. It's the New English Bible. In verse 23, it says, "Guard your heart more than any treasure." Boy, I like that. It just sort of rang a note with me. "Guard your heart more than any treasure, for it is the source of all life." Guard your heart, whatever treasure you have, guard it more than that. I don't care what it is. If you got money, you got job, you got prestige, whatever it is, guard it more than that. And it says, for out of your heart is where life comes from. It's the source of life. So we're to guard our heart, our spirit man, because as we're finding out here, and of course, medical science is just beginning, and of course, they're beginning to see how the heart of man, the spirit of man, affects the healing process, the natural healing process in our bodies. And so we're beginning to see that, and so how much more should we guard our heart because we know the truth? And so what we were sharing on Sunday is that the condition of your heart affects your body. So sometimes when we're dragging and we're, you know, we're just kind of, oh boy, I am really wore out. You need to find out, is your spirit man becoming weakened? Is it becoming, you know, dry? Because it says that we're to live by every word of God. Not just bread and food, but by every word of God. So our spirit man can become weakened and dull, and it can affect the life force that's coming out of this spirit man and can affect the strength and stamina of this body. It can affect your whole immune system, can affect the healing process in your body. And so if we let this spirit man, our spirit man, become weakened, then we can affect just our whole physical countenance, everything about us. And so one of the things that, you know, I was sharing, which I believe is so true, is that just like your immune system, you've got diseases. You could have diseases running around in your body and you don't know it. You're exposed to it. You're exposed to toxins and all different kinds of things that are going on in this earth that man has created. And you're not even aware of it. Why? Because your immune system is strong and it fights it off. It kills it and you're strong. I feel good. But your immune system is strong. And when it gets compromised, what happens? I gotta cut this sore throat and I'm coughing and hacking and the stuff is going on. And what happens? Your immune system's compromised. And usually what happens is you go back, you've been running at 99 miles an hour for 5 days straight, haven't gotten enough sleep, not eating right, and all of that, and what happens? And all of a sudden, bang, you hit a wall, and now all of a sudden your body's affected by that. Well, the same thing can happen spiritually. We're running along, everything's fine, we're not fellowshipping, we're not worshiping God, we're not reading the word, bang. And it could take months, could take years. And then all of a sudden you hit a wall. And you're like, man, I don't know what's going on. Well, what's going on is you haven't been keeping in fellowship and you haven't been feeding. And I know Brother Copeland shared this years ago. And he said the Lord got on his case about this. And he shares it in some of his messages years ago where he'd be running as a minister, putting out what? Life. Food out of your spirit. And he wasn't putting things back in or enough. And all of a sudden you had a deficit. And you're dragging. Ugh. I don't know why I'm so tired. That's what he said. I was dragging. Didn't know why I was so tired. And I was putting more out than I was putting in. And so where ministers are concerned, when you're putting out and putting out, you got to put back in, or you're going to find yourself in a deficit. And that can happen, and that's what happened to him, and he shares it, and he said, you know, the Lord told him, make this correction. You're not putting enough in to compensate what you're putting out, because you're feeding all the time. And so you need to do that. And so the point is that we need to guard our heart. That's the point. We need to guard this heart at all cost. Because we could find ourselves in a deficit and it can affect us. Can affect us spiritually, can affect us physically, can affect our finances and everything about us, our whole life. That's what it said. It's our heart is the source of life's consequences. And so it's something that we want to just keep it, that in our thinking. And for it, the word of God is life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. So there isn't anything that we come up against in our physical body. There isn't any kind of symptom that we run up against that cannot be corrected by feeding on God's word. It has to leave. It must change. And so just the same way that doctors, we know this, doctors will prescribe a medicine. And they'll say, okay, this is the dose that you're supposed to take. And when it doesn't control the symptoms, or if it doesn't do what they think it should do in the time frame that they're looking for that to happen, what do they usually do? They'll either lower or raise the dosage. They'll play around with that to try to control it in a better way. Well, if you're not getting the kind of results, maybe you need to increase the dosage of God's word, because it has to change. And as far as for me, what I have found, and I'm just, you know, don't throw anything at me, but feeding on God's word is not sitting watching the television. Feeding on God's word for me is getting and doing what? Feeding on God's word. Reading God's word out loud. Hearing yourself read God's word. That is not sitting. Now, again, I'm not saying that you should not watch television. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen to anointed messages. But if you spend all your time doing that, you could be in a deficit, because you need to feed on this. You need to feed on the Word of God, and you need to get it and read it out loud and hear yourself read it. I know for me, when I turn on something, if I get up, I may listen to a message in the morning. I may feed on that. But I will turn on something that's reading the Scriptures, or I'm reading the Scriptures, one or the other. I'm listening to the Scriptures, or I'm reading it, one or the other. But I'm not just feeding from some other source. You understand my point? Because you need to feed on God's Word. And so we also highlighted Proverbs 18:14, said the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? And I like the Amplified and also the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation says the human spirit can endure a sick body. See, that's what the New Living Translation says. The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear it if the spirit is crushed? See, so it's inferring here or referring that our spirit, if it's strong, if it's built up, it can endure a sick body. But who can bear it if the spirit is crushed? If it's weakened, it's going to be hard. And some don't make it because their spirit is weakened. It's not strong enough to fight against the onslaught of sickness and disease. And then it needs the assistance, and of course we all know this, it needs the assistance of medicine and doctors and so forth, which can help us. But it's the spirit of man that we want to make sure does not become weakened. And so we spent some time with that and touched on those things. And what I want to do this evening is let's look at a few scriptures in the Old Testament, and let's turn over to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, and let's look at verse 26. Actually, I'm going to start reading in verse 23, but I want to read 26, we'll get to 26. And verse 23, it says, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And my margin says bitterness. And what happened? The people murmured, who? Against Moses. Oh, you brought us to this place. And they murmured and saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were what? Made sweet. Isn't it interesting how, in verse 25, I find it interesting, he said, when he did what? He cried unto the Lord. He sought the Lord. He looked to the Lord for what? Direction. And what did the Lord do? He told him, get a tree, throw it into the water. And he said, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance. And there he did what? He proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So you can see here from this scripture, one translate, not a translation, but if you look up the word a Lord, it's Jehovah, It's really another name for the Lord. It's Jehovah Rapha. If you look that up in the concordance, healeth is Rapha. So it's Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth thee. So when he speaks, this is his will. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And so you can see here, just from this, he said, if you'll obey, he said here, if you'll do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, he won't put or allow these sicknesses to come on you. And that were brought upon the Egyptians. Why? For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. So this is a covenant. He said, if you'll do this, I'll do this. That's a covenant statement right there. And let's look forward. Let's turn forward to Exodus 23. And let's look at starting in verse 22. And it says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. Wow. And an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not do what? Bow down. So here's some conditions here, right? He said, I'm going to do all these things for you on your behalf. But he said here in verse 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor what? Serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and what? Quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. And what happens when you do? He said, he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I might take sickness. No, he said, I will take sickness away from the midst of me, of thee. So is it God's will to heal? Yes, if we serve him, and we don't serve other gods, and he said here, and you don't bow down to them or participate, do after their works, and you break down the images. And of course, here he's talking about the images that they set up. And he said, and you serve the Lord your God. He said, I will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of me. Now look here, in verse 26, it says, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy lands, the number of thy days I will fulfill. Now think about this. Did he do away with the old covenant? No, he fulfilled with what? A better covenant. So some of these conditions were fulfilled in Christ. We're to serve God, but we are not to serve other gods. So you cannot, I'm thinking about here a scripture that comes to mind in Malachi. You don't have to turn, I'll read there. It says, will a man rob God? He said, yet you have robbed me. And he said, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this, what? Whole nation. The whole nation. He said, what's verse 10? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house. So if you're lacking, maybe See, in this case, they may have been lacking, but he said, just bring them in. You'll have meat in your house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall destroy, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. He gonna back me up. When I serve him and I honor him and bring my tithes into the storehouse, he's going to bless my bread. He's going to bless my water. As I serve him, he's going to make sure my bank account's full. He's going to make sure that those things that the devil tries to destroy, he's going to rebuke. I'm reminded when I first started in this ministry, I had a personal situation where I got sued for probably it was close to $300,000. And I thought, well, that's it for me. And I did not know what to do. I had a blank. I drew a big fat blank because I said, this is way out above what I can handle. And I was sitting in my office and I was doing my work, and just up right from here, I can remember it like yesterday, right up out of here, I heard, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. The Holy Ghost started sharing this scripture. And at that time, it wasn't in my thinking. And I chased over there. And when I got to, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, I said, wow, this is what I need. I need the devourer rebuked in this situation. So I took hold of it, you know, like Brother Hagin says, like a bulldog with a pan. I just went, and I took that, and every single time thoughts came that this isn't going to work, this is going down, you're done, bum, 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 I'd say, now, Lord, I didn't think of this scripture. You told me this scripture. I wasn't even thinking about it. You told me this scripture, so obviously this is your will. And I remind you. I said, no, it doesn't look good. It looks like, it feels like, and I'm feeling fear. But I said, you said this, and I'm reminding you. And every time that would happen, I would just remind the Lord with that scripture. And I went a whole year, went through all of the process, boom, 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 and it was going to the grand jury. And when they said grand jury, I went, grand, 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 grand jury. Okay. And just the thought of it made me nervous. And so I reminded the Lord again. I said, Lord, this is going to the grand jury. You said this, and I walked through that process. Well, it never went anywhere. It got resolved within the insurance policy that I had on the car that I had. And so, it never went anywhere. It got squashed. And so, when I say squashed, it did get squashed by the Lord. And so, all I'm sharing is that I don't care what it is that you're going through that looks so big, so large, there is absolutely no way you could resolve it. No way. It's out. It's beyond your control. It's bigger than you can even think to handle. He's bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger. You wait on the Lord. He'll give you a scripture or share something. If you just had that scripture in Malachi, that I'm not robbing God, I'm a tither, I'm bringing my tithes into the storehouse, and every time those fear thoughts come, you remind him of who you are, what I'm doing and serving you, Lord, to the best that I know. And if he reveals something to you to do or correct or change, do it. Because I can tell you, when the rubber hits the road and when it happens, I'm telling you, it just was like this big mountain, and all of a sudden it went nothing. Nothing. It's gone. And he did it. See, he did it. So you can't take any credit for it, But what you can say is thank God for his word. And in the same thing, I don't care if there's a sickness or disease in your body. He said, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the one that heals. And if you look up that word Rapha, it also means restore. It means to make healed or restored. It just means to restore, to health. So that is one of his, he said, I am. So that's an eternal name that God has that's associated with him. Of course, other names that he has attributed to him, but one of them is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So he can't have sickness and disease. He said, I am the healer. Well, that means he doesn't have sickness to give. So it's God's will. If he's the healer, then it is his will to heal. And I don't care what it is that might come in your body, you have a right to go to God and say, you said such and such. You told me you're the healer. You told me if I served you and honored you, didn't serve other gods, that you would bless my bread and water and you would remove sickness from the midst of me. And I'm going to say that and feed on that. But it's also important to make sure, as we shared on Sunday, to make sure that your spirit is strong, that you're feeding the word of God into your spirit. So when we look at that in Exodus 23, I like the New International Version. It says, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I like that. Well, I like the way the writers wrote that in the New International. Exodus 23:25, it says, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. And I will take away sickness from among you. And he continues in verse 26, and it said, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land, and I will give you a full lifespan. So let me ask a question. Could it be possible for a whole church to be without sickness? Yes, it could. Because he's speaking to a nation here. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. And he's saying, if you'll do this, I will do this. I'll remove sickness. Well, how about a church? A church could be without sickness or disease. Could be. And should be. And so we need to, if we're doing our part in a covenant relationship, if we're doing everything that we know to do, and we've obligated, you know, of course, a covenant. If I was in covenant with you in a business or a marriage, I would be obligated to you to do certain things, correct? And conversely, you would be obligated to me to do certain things. So when we obligate ourselves to God and we do those things that he's required of us, he's obligated. He is obligated to do those conditions that he said, if you do this, I will do this. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, then it's my responsibility. It doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I could feel fear. I could feel pain. I could feel all those kind of things going on. Or I could see an empty bank account. But if I'm doing everything that he said I'm supposed to do, he's obligated to fix it. Increase it. Bless it. Is that not right? He's obligated to. Well, here's the thing. Are we doing everything that we're supposed to be doing? Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Examine ourselves. I can't look at you and say, well, why aren't you doing that? None of my business. You are supposed to be doing, and again, you're supposed to be walking in all the light that you have. and doing what God has told us to do. And so his covenant, again, we are covenanted with God through who? Christ. And we are to obligate ourselves to him and to live a Christ-centered and a holy life. But you think about this. Just think about this particular scripture. I'm going to read it to you. But remember in Psalm 105, he talks about how he brought them out of bondage. And he said here in Psalm 105, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one. Not one. He delivered them. So our testimony ought to be not one feeble person among our camp. Now, let's take a moment and let's look at Deuteronomy 28. Let's just take a real quick look at Deuteronomy 28. And you can see here, again, the covenant that God established here. What did he say? He said it in the beginning of Deuteronomy, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and do what? Overtake thee. And he says it again, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And of course, he begins to list all of the blessings. And then in verse 15, he says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So he's put some conditions in place that according to this covenant, he's saying, if you'll do this, all of these blessings will come upon you. But if you don't obey, all of these curses will come upon you. And so even from that standpoint, they had boundaries. They had conditions. They couldn't just do anything and get away with it. There were some conditions according to the covenant. You know, if you establish a business contract today or you have a contract, could be with an insurance company, could be whatever, there are conditions. If you do everything, they obligate themselves to you. But you can't just do anything outside the bounds of that contract and expect to receive the benefits of that contract. And the same with God. God obligates himself to us if we do certain things. And of course, where the covenants of healing are concerned, it's the same thing. He said, this is what we got done reading in Exodus. He said, if you'll worship the Lord your God, and he says, his blessing will be upon your food and water, and I will take sickness from among you. So we have to serve him, we have to worship him, and when we obligate ourselves to him, he's going to bless us. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy. Let's back up to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I think let's start reading in verse 11. It says, and thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them, Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee, and will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you and among your cattle. Look at verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. So you can see here, he's covenanted himself with them. If they do certain things, he will do certain things. And you can see here, there's a covenant established between God and his people. And you can see here, he said, when you do these things, I will take all sickness away from thee, and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. So we can see here, we've been, they had a covenant. Now what do we have? We have a better covenant built upon or made upon better promises. And let's take a few moments and just look at, let's take a look at Galatians just a moment. Of course, there are many scriptures that we could look at in the New Testament. Let's just take a look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. And we'll read down to 13. But it says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, are we of faith? Yes. The same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we can see here that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So when we look at that, Christ has taken for every man, he's taken all sickness for every man. He became sickness for us. So it is the will of God. Why would he have sent Jesus? He was the will of God sent to this earth to basically what? Redeem mankind. Redeem him from death and sickness and disease and his sins. So we've been redeemed. That is the will of God. So to question God's will, you'd have to say that Jesus wasn't for everybody. If you said healing isn't for everybody, you'd have to say Jesus wasn't for everybody. And we know that's not true. He came for every man. He came to save every man. and to heal every man. And it's already done. And to say that that's not the will of God, you'd have to say that the Word of God isn't for everybody. And that's not true. Healing is for everybody. And how does it come? It has to be appropriated by faith. We have to believe and receive Christ as our Savior. When we receive Him as our Savior, we receive, it says, what does it say in, I believe it's in the scripture that we read in John. It says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And so when someone receives Christ, they're redeemed, their sins are cleansed, and they're healed. And at that point, they can receive their salvation by faith and their healing by faith, because it's all one package. And so it has to be received by faith. But as we know, there are conditions, even in the new covenant, there are some conditions that we have to live by. And we don't follow those conditions, who are we really getting into whose territory? The devil's territory. And we put ourselves into his camp, and we can reap the rewards of that. So God is obligated. I mean, when we miss the mark, and we know we do, I guess that is what we need to say. When you're not walking in the light that you know, then he's not obligated to do what? Bless your bread and your water and remove sickness from the midst of you. Because if that wasn't the case, then we wouldn't have to ask for forgiveness. But when we miss it, he said we're to confess our sins. And he said he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And just a thought along that line before we close, just think about, we read this on Communion Sunday, but when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So is it possible, even under a better covenant, where someone could be weak and sickly among you, and many sleep? Well, he says so right here. Not discerning the Lord's body. So we're to do what? Examine ourselves. So when we get outside of the covenant benefits, we can put ourselves in a position where we could be weak or infirmed or sickly and not blessed. So we can see from the scripture that God covenanted himself with us, but there are some obligations on our part. And when we do those, when we comply, then he's obligated to heal us. He's obligated to bless us. He's obligated to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we can hardly contain. And I'll stop there and pick up on Sunday. But is this too simple, or is this something that's it's almost like everybody goes, I don't know about this. But that's all right. Just get the tape and listen to it again. And maybe the light bulb will go on. As you read it, the entrance of his word giveth light. I'm getting to the place where as I feed and I feed, if something is in my body or some condition or I'm confronted with something, I'm going to keep feeding. I'm going to go back. You know, Pastor Greg always uses this. from a sports standpoint, we go back to the basics, go back to the foundational things, and we can't get away from the fact that God's Word is food and nourishment to our spirit man. It is health to all of our flesh. And so, if for some reason your body is not changing, and you know you're doing everything that you need to do, you're fellowshipping with God, you know you're not out of fellowship. I know reading some of the books or booklets, actually, that I have from Lillian B. Yeomans, I don't even know, I think some of her books, you might be able to find them used. You might be able to search for them on Amazon. You can buy them through some used books kind of thing. But she was a doctor, and she started a health clinic, I believe, back in the 30s. It might have been earlier than that. And she said there, what they would do is when people came in with TB, they would just, she and her sister would just read the scriptures to the individual. They would read scripture and read them. And then she would tell the person, just recite these scriptures over and over and over and over and over again. And they would come back and they'd say they'd read the scripture. But she said it usually took about 3 days. And they would read these scriptures. They would get the person to confess the scriptures hour after hour, hour after hour, day after day. And she said usually by the third day, it would explode in the individual. And that would become rhema, and healing would take place. And she said when they began to not see results after 3 days, they began to look and say, okay, God never misses it, so it must be us somewhere. We're not doing something. Let's see what it is. Maybe we need to make a correction. Maybe we need to do something different. And so they began to, and they got results. So when we begin to feed upon God's Word, if we're not getting the kind of results that we expect where healing is concerned, if we're not seeing something, and I say it that way, when I say not getting results, if it's a serious ailment and you're not seeing some results after a couple of days, a little bit, even something little, just minor, I'm not talking about a full restoration. I'm talking about something little, just minor. You need to go back and find out, okay, what am I doing, Lord? What am I not doing? What do I need to feed on? What is it that I need to make a correction? Because I can tell you for me personally, every time that I have meditated and fed on the Word of God, change happens. Every time, change happens in the body. And of course, sometimes it took a long time. But change was happening. So you knew, okay, I'm getting some results here. It's progressing. But when there's absolutely no change, see, I told you, and that's why, again, sometimes the Lord is merciful. You know what I mean? We keep standing and standing and standing and standing. I told you I was in pain for a year. I'd sing in the choir. I'd stand here. I was in such excruciating pain I couldn't sleep. I couldn't. I'd close my eyes for a little bit, but I wasn't sleeping for a year. And so finally, after I said, I'm standing on the Word, standing on it, and I'm confessing it, speaking it, no change. And after a year, I told you, I came back from a vacation with my family. I'm in the shower. God is so merciful. He is merciful. Even when you're stupid, He's merciful. I'm standing on the Word, confessing it. And He said, I could hear His voice, very soft, I'm showering, you know, they say sudsing up, I'm showering away. And I heard here, real soft, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. Just like that. And I stood there, I stopped. And I stood there in the water, and I'm just standing there in the shower. And I went, really? And that was in July. And that's what I did. I'm standing in the shower. I went, July, August, September, October, November, December. I went, okay, that's 6 months. And I went another 2 weeks. Didn't go to the doctor. Now I'm in pain because I'm standing. I'm serious. I said, I'm standing on the word. And I had stood for a year because I'm standing. But after 2 weeks, I said, you idiot, that was the Holy Ghost. I did. I said to myself, you dummy, that was the Holy Ghost. Go to the doctor. And so that was a whole circuitous path. I went to the emergency room. You know, they got the specialist. They look at you, blah, blah, blah. And right away, you know, they're talking negative. You know, doctors, you got this, dot, 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 bop, 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 bop. And so, you know, take this medicine. I never took medicine in my life, ever, ever. Almost at that time, 50-some years old, never took an aspirin, never took medicine, ever. And so for me, for a doctor to tell me, even to go to the doctor, I was in good health, for me to even go and have somebody give me a prescription, I was like, yeah, okay. And so it was a whole thing. And then so finally, I ended up in a nutritionist. That was it, because I didn't get a witness to go back. I never went back to this doctor. He was some highfalutin specialist, and all he did was tell me negative. And so I went to a nutritionist, and immediately he said, I'll have your stomach turned around in 2 weeks. And I said, 2 weeks? Really? And I guess the expression on my face, he said, you don't believe me, do you? And he said to me, you know how many of these conditions I've dealt with in my career? I said, no, sir. He said, over 5,000. I said, okay. So out of all of that, what I learned was I was violating some natural laws. And so sometimes we're standing on the word and we're violating some natural laws that totally come against what you're standing in the word. You're violating a natural law. And so it's like you hitting your hand with a hammer and then saying, I believe God, I'm healed. Wham! I believe God, I'm healed. Wham! Well, that's stupid. But in a way, we're doing the same thing for me. I was doing the same thing internally by not eating the right foods, not getting the right kind of sleep. And so I was doing damage internally. Well, when I changed my diet and I changed some things, I stopped doing certain things, immediately the body changed. Immediately. Isn't it interesting? I stood a whole year and I make a little correction. Drink water. I didn't like water. Never drank water. Never. I just didn't. I drank water and I started using olive oil and some things. Simple, simple things. Simple. My stomach healed in 5 days. 5 days. Now, the full restoration took about 6 months. But in 5 days, it wasn't hard. It was tender. And I asked him, I asked this nutritionist, he was a chiropractor. I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. After about a year, after we, you know, had gone through all this, I said, how close was I with this? I had never asked you. He said, if you'd gone another week, they'd open you up. See, so God knew. If I had gone another week, if I had never gone to the doctor, they'd open you up, and then it would have been a slippery slope, and you'd been dead. See, so he knew, and thank God he was merciful. Thank God that I heard his voice and obeyed it and made the corrections, because I'd be dead. And so we can stand on the Word of God. I was doing everything I knew to do. I was tithing. I was living right. But I was acting stupid. I wasn't eating right. And I was violating some natural laws. And so, yeah, God in His mercy spoke to me and said, get this fixed, buddy boy. And so I did. And I've endeavored to continue to do that since that time. That was over 10 years ago. And not do stupid things. You know what I mean? And eat in moderation. And when you find yourself slipping over, you know, we're all going to be tempted. You know, have an extra this, have a... Nope. Not doing it. You know, when you get your hand burnt once and burnt good, you think twice before you do something stupid again. You do. Because you almost lose your life over it. You go, you know, I think I'll pass on that. You know, you get burnt good. You know, you think twice. And plus, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I'm to keep this body under. I'm going to endeavor to do that. And we're obligated to God. And when we do, He'll do His part. And, you know, for the longest time, I didn't have an answer to this business about just bless your food, eat it, and God will bless it. Okay, I have a question for you. See, I didn't have answers to that, and I'm not saying that that's not scriptural, but God says, when you serve me, I will bless your bread and water and remove sickness from the midst of you. Now, let me ask a question. Could it be that part of serving is asking what I should eat? Could it be? Because when we eat, man, I'm going to have me the whole side of beef. Did you ask whether you should eat the whole side of beef? He may tell you, have a little portion and not the whole half. But I mean, I'm making fun of it, but you know, are we asking God what I should eat, what portion sizes I should eat? You know, I think sometimes when we do and He gives us direction, then He's giving us direction for you. And what He tells you to do is not what He may tell me, because He knows you. And then when He tells you what to eat, how to eat, what to do, He obligates Himself to you. But when we choose to go and have, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever that something is, and too much of, then is on you, because you didn't ask. And we're to do things, first of all, in moderation. So even that, I don't mean to get stuck on this, but I found that I was doing some things, and in Christ the Healer, in His book, he had something, of course, F.F. Bosworth wrote Christ the Healer. And in that book, he had a chapter, 21 Reasons Why People Don't Get Healed. And it lists all kinds of things, you know, from the top down. All the things that we've, you know, shared here. We may take the time to go through that. If you don't have that, we can just highlight them in one lesson. And it talks about a variety of things. Not knowing the will of God. Not walking in faith. Walking in doubt. Walking in bitterness. Not walking in love. All of those things. But right at the top. At the top. Number 5. He wrote this book back in the 1800s. Number 5. Violating the laws of nature. And I went, whoa, okay, looky here. So he put in there, some of us need to have some assistance on what to eat. Now he put that back in the 1800s. So and today, some of the concoctions that are being put together that we're slogging down, and we're not asking God what we should eat, we end up with the conditions that we have. And I'm not saying that, you know, I don't want to get stuck on that, but I'm saying I think we need to be more sensitive to God as to what should we eat. Because he's given us the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. And he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, I mean, I may think I know what I want to eat, but I think asking God can make that a better deal. Don't you think? I think so. And when we do, I think we'll have better results. I do. So, don't mean to get stuck on that, on the natural side, but I did. And it was a big revelation to me that I thought I could just pray over a bowl of ice cream and everything would be fine. I'm serious. It's stupidity, but, you know, let me pray over this big piece of cheesecake and everything will just be fine as I wash it down with a Coca-Cola. I mean, you laugh, but people do this stuff and they're, Lord, bless this. And I know you're going to bless it. But did you ask him? See, you're obligating, and the reason I'm kind of making fun of it, but you're obligating the Lord to bless your food, and you didn't ask him. Did you? You say, Lord, bless it. And you're obligating him to do some condition of the covenant, and you didn't ask. Let me ask you something. Did he create conditions in the old covenant as to what to eat? Oh, yeah, he did. He told them, eat this, don't eat this. Eat this, don't eat this. Well, let me ask a question. We have a better covenant. You think we might ask? I think we should. I think we should say, Lord, what should I eat? What's good for me? Now, when I get direction from him, then he's obligated now because he gave me some directions. He's obligated to bless it and remove sickness from the midst of me. I'm speaking to myself too. It's quiet in here, but I'm speaking to myself too. Because I don't always ask the Lord what to eat. Now, I don't act stupid. But I don't always ask. Because you know how we do? I got a taste for this. You know how we do? Oh, really? You have a taste to ask the Lord first, maybe? You know what I'm saying? Hello. Yeah, we don't. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Let me get off this because I can see this could go a whole, you know. But you understand my point. You understand. We have a covenant of healing with God, but there are some obligations with that. And I think part of that is, yes, he will. He has said, I am the God that healeth thee. And I will remove sickness from the midst of thee. And I will bless your bread and your water. When, he said, what was the condition? You worship me. And I think part of worship is, hey, Lord, I worship you. What do you want me to have tonight? What do you want me to eat? It's not my will. What do you want for me to have tonight? That's part of worship. Just coming in and asking him. But do we really worship him in that way? I'd have to say, in all cases, no. But you see, when we do, you could have a whole nation that's sick, that's not is disease-free. And a whole congregation could, too. Good. Amen. Goes right there, as Brother Hagin used to say, or oh me. You want to make a comment? You just did. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You know, I'm sorry.
If it were reversed, I'd have said the same thing. So,
yeah.
But when you shared earlier that the doctors may, you know, they may increase medicines. So right. we may want to increase our time in the Word.
Right.
Well, the other thing that they may do is they may add additional medicines.
Right.
So it may not be that you need to increase the amount of time you spend in the Word. Maybe you need to add some Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we need to add some praise.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to stop complaining.
Yeah.
You know, there are other things that we want to consider
yeah.
that get in the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Good point. Amen. Well, did anybody get anything that maybe they'll think about in the future? All five of my, 10 of my little fingers are up there saying, yes, sir. You know, when you go to grab that wingding, just think about it. Or yodel, or whatever they call them. Or turn left to Dunkin'. Oops, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Of the Dunkin' Do Not, or whatever you call them. You know, whatever that is. When you go, let me think about that. You know. I told Pastor Greg today, you know, when I think about some of the stuff I did, I shouldn't be alive. I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious. In a natural state, natural condition, if anybody looked at what I ate, you go, you shouldn't be alive. You shouldn't be living. Some of the dumb stuff I would do and just run all day, 8, 10, 12, 15 hours, and suck on a cup of coffee and a couple of donuts and maybe a bagel. And just run. I mean run, full steam. And I'd do that, you'd do that day after day, day after day, day after day, and then wham! You go, what happened? Dumb. That's what happened. Dumb. And sometimes God is merciful. And I thought about it afterwards. I said, you know, I was healed of some things supernaturally. But I realized after the fact that if God hadn't really spoken to me and I hadn't gotten those adjustments changed in my lifestyle, would have never changed. If he had just healed me and kept going, okay, I'm going to go to the next, bam, hit another one, get healed. So what has been accomplished? Nothing. I didn't change my lifestyle. I didn't change and corrected some things. And I think sometimes that's what happens in the natural and sometimes spiritual. God is trying to get us to correct some things just like you would do as a loving parent. If you saw your child doing something that might harm or hurt them, you're going to do your best to try to get them to correct some things, just out of love. And I thank God for His mercy, even when you were being silly, you know, and you thought you weren't. So praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word today. Thank you, Father, that the word that we're hearing, we're going to do, and not just be hearers of it, but this congregation, this city that we live in, is going to be affected by the healing power of God. And I believe that the glory of God and the word of God is going to not only take root in us, but take root in this city, in this area, and drive sickness and disease out of it. And we thank you, Father, that that will come through the Word of God. And just the same way that when Jesus went into an area and he could do no mighty works, he went back to preaching and teaching and sharing the Word. And we thank you, Father, for that. Thank you that the Word that we're hearing is changing our lives. And Father, we're going to spend more time to look to you for what we can do in our lives naturally, not only spiritually, but naturally what we should be doing so that these bodies will function and operate in the perfection that you made him to. And Father, we thank you and we commit to do that. And we thank you that when we do, you'll do all the things that you've promised. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.